Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Lord, I trust you've had a great week of Christmas celebration, whether you were able to be with family, you got together with some friends, or you just said, you know what, we're just going to keep it in our home this year. And regardless of how you celebrated, I pray and I hope that you celebrated well, because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, worthy of all of our worship and our attention. So Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning, just for an online service. A little bit different this year, but we wanted to do this last year. I thought about it, but then opted not to. And so this year we're like, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's do this. So thanks for gathering with us. And let me have a word of prayer with you before we dive into the scripture this morning. Father God, thank you for this moment that we have to spend together. I pray every house would be filled with the presence of the living God. Lord, that you would just grace their place, I pray. And Lord, let our time in your scripture be rich and prophetic and directional for our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wow. 2020 has been a year, hasn't it? And it's wrapping up, and 2021's getting ready to fire up. And so let me ask you a question this morning. What song, if you could pick a song to describe 2020, what would that song be? I was thinking about this really for the last month and had some fun with it, put it out on my Facebook page and just asked for some interaction from people. And so, granted, some of these songs are going to date me because they're my choices, but others are selections from other people, their friends, Facebook friends and whatnot. But so, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so 80s has the best music. How many high fives can I get on that one if you're viewing on Facebook Live or YouTube? But anyway, what about if I could pick a song that would describe 2020? What about Pat Benatar, Hit Me With Your Best Shot? I mean, I think that would, you know, that describes some of our feelings this past year. But how about, I don't know if I should say this one or not, but what about Hank Williams Jr.'s song, There's a Tear in My Beer? Shouldn't drink beer. I'm not advocating drinking beer, but you know, that song for some people describes 2020, right? Or how about this one? Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train. I think that would be this pretty descriptive of this past year. Or Tears to Fears, Shout. How many have wanted to do a little shouting this past year? I know I have done it. I've wanted to do it. I've done it. But Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Pretty descriptive, right? Or what about this one? Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. I think that would be appropriate as well. And so here's another one. The Bee Gees. We're going back in time. The Bee Gees, Staying Alive. One more, all right? Celine Dion, All By Myself. I mean, that's a pretty good descriptive song for this past year. So I don't know, just some fun things. But I use that just as a kind of a bridge into what I want to talk to you about this morning, because I think there's seasons in life where songs really grab a hold of us, and titles of songs are appropriate for the moment. And there are a couple that have been on repeat from my Spotify account through really the last several months, or last couple months, where I find myself just in a moment where of prayer or worship or just devotion, or maybe I'm driving in my car and I'll just put these songs on repeat. One is entitled Battle Belongs by Phil Wickham. The other one is I Speak Jesus by Here Be Lions. And both of those songs have just kind of resonated within me in the season that I have found myself in. And I just hit those things and I'll just repeat them and repeat them and repeat them and find myself just soaking in the presence of the Lord. Man, it is so, so rich and so encouraging. How many know there are a lot of songs even within the pages of scripture? There's a song of Moses. There's a song of Miriam. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 they, in the upper room, they sing a hymn. We don't know the title of that hymn, but scholars believe that it was a hymn that was prevalent to them in that time. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are singing hymns as they're in prison. God shows up and does an incredible work. And so as we bookend this year, as we prepare to step into a new year, I want to talk to you about worship this morning. Worship goes way beyond a song. I totally understand that. You know that, but there is no better way for us to end the year, and there is no better way than to begin a new year than with a heart of worship. And I don't know about you, but when I think about this past year, there are several things that I just celebrate about what God has done in my personal life, in my life of my family, but also in the life of LifePoint. I think with LifePoint, there's, you know, the fact that we've baptized 16 people this year is just worth worshiping the Lord about for and celebrating. The fact that there's been 27 people who've made a profession of faith to Jesus this year is worth celebrating. The fact that we've doubled our missions giving prior to compared to last year is worth celebrating, worth worshiping Jesus about. Amen. And the fact that we were able to distribute over, I don't know, man, 120 tons of food or whatever it ended up being, total 3 semi-truckloads of food to our community. We're in the works right now of hopefully being able to reestablish that at the beginning of the year. That is worth worshiping Jesus about. How many know that? So as we begin this message today, all through Scripture, the redemptive narrative of Scripture begins to unfold. And within that redemptive narrative, there is this song that begins to be sung. It's a song that spans both Old Testament and New Testament. It's the first song of the Bible, and it's the last song of the Bible. The song is found in Exodus chapter 15, and I want to draw your attention there real quick this morning. Exodus 15, verse 1 says, "And Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea." This song is also found in Revelation chapter 15. In verse 2, John the Revelator writes, "And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations." This song impacts other areas of the Old Testament as well. It's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's mentioned in Psalms 86, 98, and 111. Literally, this is a song that is the song of the ages. I can remember the first youth camp that I went to after coming to Christ. There was a song that we sang, a chorus during that camp that was connected to Exodus 15. This song tells us what worship is really all about. Now, that's what I want to talk to you this morning. What do we learn about worship through the Song of Moses? Because we can take what we learn and we can bring it into 2021, but also we can end 2020 with this mindset and this attitude. We learn, number one, about worship is worship focuses on who God is. Look at it in Exodus 15, verse 1. It says, "And Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my God, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." The focus point of this song is what? It is God. It's totally focused on who God is. Underline, in fact, in your Bible, if you have your Bible, underline the number of times attention is directed to God just in those few verses. You know, in the 1600s, the church in Scotland created what is called the Westminster Catechism. And it was to be used for the instruction of the Christian faith. It involved two areas. It involved first the doctrines and the decrees concerning the nature of God. And secondly, the duties Christians have in carrying out God's moral law, but also in communicating the gospel. And the Catechism poses this question: why was man created, and what is the chief end of men? And their answer, they conclude, is this: man was created, and the chief end of men is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I love that. Enjoy, it means to love and to appreciate, to experience, to relish, to adore. This isn't coincidental. This is intentional. I think about that just as we grow and we learn to adore, and we grow and learn to be intentional in our relationship with God. A couple of weeks ago, on a Wednesday night, I was just visiting with some ladies who are part of the Women of Valor group, and was out in the foyer talking with them. And I said, "Hey, tell me about what you're learning, what you're experiencing in Women of Valor." And this young lady, just this smile just spread across her face. And she's like, "Oh, I've learned so much. I've grown so much. I've encountered God in so many new ways during this season. It's been incredible." You know what? Enjoying God more fully. That smile communicated so much. In fact, in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord tells Moses to have Aaron bless the people. So he does. And part of that blessing is that it's about making God smile. In fact, have you ever thought about your worship making God smile? Numbers chapter 6, verse 25 says, "May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you." You and I are being created to worship. I mean, that's the highest calling that you can possess, right? Is that, man, you recognize that, man, as 2020 ends, as 2021 begins, I'm going to wrap up this year in worship. I'm going to begin the new year in worship. In fact, Eric Little, just thinking about that, in the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little makes this statement: "I believe God made me for a purpose. He made you for a purpose too. Made me for a purpose." He says, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure." End of quote. May that be true with you. Whether you're on a Zoom call instructing your students, if you're involved in education, that as you're doing your skill and as you're doing your labor, that labor would become worship, and may you feel God's pleasure. If you're at home and you're a teacher now, mom, you're a teacher now, dad, instructing your kid, may you feel God's pleasure, and may that classroom become a worship center. As you are laboring with your hands, sir or ma'am, in your job, may you feel God's pleasure because it's worship. Every moment, every situation, every day is an opportunity for you and I to worship and to celebrate God. God, I want to worship you in this incredible moment that you've granted us. God, I want to worship you during this storm, maybe if you're in a storm. God, I want to learn to worship you during this grinding season. In fact, as I was preparing to come in here and preach this message, I ran into a couple of our ladies that are just faithfully walking our grounds every week on and just praying, just doing going for prayer walks around our property, asking God's favor, His protection, just calling on the grace of God. And they were just saying, "You know what, man, we are so excited for what God is doing and what He's getting ready to do." And they were worshiping Him. Why? Why worship? Why grow in that? Because worship is about God, not about the stuff around me. Notice when they worshiped in Exodus 15. This is huge, all right? It says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord." Well, what's the then? The then implies that their worship was immediate. It was immediately following what happened in the Red Sea to the Egyptians. It wasn't like if we like the song, we're going to worship. If none of the Egyptians surface and swim out, if that doesn't happen, then we're going to worship. No. It wasn't if we're comfortable. No, it was then. Then equals worship. how should our worship be? It tells me that worship should be immediately, not conveniently. Who is God? Okay, Steve, you want us to worship immediately? You want us to worship as we wrap up 2020 and step into 2021 and just live a lifestyle of worship? Why? Understand who God is. And as you look at this passage of scripture, why worship? Because God is a warrior. Look at it, verse 3. And the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Do you see that? Do you see God that way? Oftentimes we don't think of maybe God in that image or in that light, but do you realize that God is fighting for you? Look at it in Exodus chapter 15, verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Do you worship the Lord because of that? Because he's fighting a battle for you. He's fighting for you. Steve, you're like, oh, that's Old Testament God. God's not, that's so like angry. It seems like so God is angry when you present him that way. That he's mad, he's like vengeful. Can I just remind you in the New Testament, let's just take the Gospel of Mark since we've been preaching through Mark. Jesus is constantly doing battle with the forces of darkness, isn't he? It is very confrontational. He's very direct as he's interacting with the forces of darkness. Why? Because he's fighting for people. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for your neighbor. He's fighting for us. Don't think for a moment that you have trekked through 2020 fighting for on your own. In fact, in Revelations 19, verses 11 through 16, it talks about who Jesus is. And it ends this passage of scripture in verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe or on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship God because of who he is. Number two, worship celebrates what God has done. Exodus chapter 7 or chapter 15, verse 7. And the greatness of your majesty, you overflow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters pile up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue you. I will overtake you. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders. And in 2020, what have you seen God do? Can I just ask you that in your personal life? What have you seen God do? In fact, let's do this. Write down, if you would, just if you're participating this morning on Facebook Live or on YouTube, maybe just interact with those people that are watching with you and just, hey, God did this in my life. I saw God do this, and just share those testimonies with one another. Make sure you give each other high fives as you do that. Why celebrate what God has done? Because worship, listen to me, because worship is based on facts. Who God is and what God has done. Can you imagine the sight along the shoreline there at the Red Sea that day? Too often we base our worship not on facts, but maybe we base it on feelings or we base it on preferences. You know, I like the type of song that's being sung, so I'm going to step into it. Or I like who's leading, or I like that style better than the other style, or man, the environment. We base our worship, our responsiveness to the environment. Are the lights on? Are they off? What's the temperature in the room? What's the volume? And all that stuff affects how we respond to the Lord in our worship. And it makes us ask the question, what's driving my engagement? Is it my emotions? Is it my feelings? Or is it what God has done? You look at Exodus 15, 7 through 11, and they're getting specific on what God has done. I encourage you today, excuse me, through this day, that you would just take some moments, even now, and just write down some of the things God has done, or talk amongst yourselves if you're watching with somebody about what God has done when we're done with the message, and take a moment and worship the Lord. Psalms 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalms 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and you shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. I will meditate. Last thought on what worship does. And this is huge, man. This is so exciting. Get ready. Come on, lean in. Are you ready? Number three, worship unites us to God's future for us. I love this. Exodus chapter 15, verse 12. You stretched out your hand and the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Let me ask you a question. Remember where this song is happening. Remember where this song is being sung. It's on the shoreline of the Red Sea. This wasn't 6 months later that this song was being sung. It was then, remember. This was real time. It says in verse 14, the peoples have heard, they trembled. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. They now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as stone till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, where you have made your abode. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Let me ask you a question. You read that passage of scripture, you're looking at it now. How do all these enemies know about what happened to the Egyptians? I mean, there is no social media available. Moses isn't on the sideline tweeting, hashtag swallowed up, or hashtag see you later. None of that's happening. CNN or Fox News isn't there giving live reports. None of that is available, right? So what's going on here? At this point, the enemies don't know what has happened. I want to submit to you. The Israelites know what their God did. They know who's guiding them. Your worship, and this worship right here, is prophetic. Your praise and your worship should always be prophetic. Remember, we worship because of facts of who God is, and we worship by faith because of what God's going to do. Look at this prophetic praise. Verse 16, till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. God is out in front of us. He is the God who goes before us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, but he's also the God who goes before us. Not only is he going before us, but he's also our rear guard. He's also our foundation. He's also our covering. He's also made his home within you. Friend, God's fighting for you, and you have the victory. I love what Dabo Swinney's the head coach from the University of Clemson football program. Incredible coach, but more importantly, he's an incredible follower of Jesus. And he made this quote, and I love it. If there is hope in the future, there is power in the present. If there is hope in the future, there is power in the present. Let your worship, as you wrap up 2020 and we step into a song of worship here in a moment, let your worship be prophetic. Cling to the hope that you have in Christ, because there's power in the present because he's with you. Speak faith towards your 2021, because God is going before you and God is with you. As we step into worship now, let me pray, and then I'm going to come back and wrap us up, all right? Father God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for a heart of worship that you've placed within all of your creation. Scripture even says, if no one will praise me, even the rocks will cry out in worship. Lord, we're not going to let rocks out worship us. And so, Lord, I pray during this song, Jesus, we're going to step to you, and may our hearts be full of your presence. And Lord, I pray that if we don't know you, if we're not in right relationship with you, before we step into this song of worship, God, if we've not experienced your salvation, Exodus chapter 15, 2 says this, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. If there's somebody watching this morning and they've not made you their Lord and Savior, Scripture tells us that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead and sent Jesus to die for me, you shall be saved. Lord, let salvation come into individuals' lives right now. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. And I thank you that you're with us. And I thank you for the gift of salvation. May we worship you now with all of our heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Step into this worship. Grab a hold of this moment. Don't waste it.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.